Welcome to Inside the Match, where Alex and Simone talk residency applications.
We are two residents here to help you navigate the match.
For each podcast, we'll bring you residents from various specialties and backgrounds to give advice. So today we are super excited to have Nick, and we are going to talk all about the differences between a preliminary year, a transitional year, and a categorical program. So Nick, thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Where are you a resident physician, and what specialty are you in?
So I'm currently in Minneapolis. I'm a PGY2 diagnostic radiology resident.
So being in radiology, that means that you had to decide between doing a preliminary year and a transitional year. So can you describe the differences between the preliminary and transitional option? And then for those that have the categorical program option, what that even means?
The first place to differentiate, I think, is what a categorical program is. So categorical means that your residency training includes an internship. It includes an intern year. It includes a first year of training. The contrast to a categorical program would be a preliminary program. So if you are a preliminary resident, that means that you are preliminarily in that program only for typically a year. The types of prelim programs that people might do prior to an advanced specialty such as radiology would be a surgery prelim year or an internal medicine prelim year or a transitional year prelim year, which is very confusing, but those are the kind of flavors. So basically you have internal medicine, surgery, or transitional year to choose from. And the main difference between transitional year and the other two are that transitional years are typically a blend of surgery and medicine. So there's generally a little bit more variety for electives and doing different types of rotations compared to doing mostly surgical rotations or doing mostly internal medicine-esque rotations.
So I did psychiatry, so there was not an option to apply for a preliminary year or a transitional year in order to get into the specialty. But there are a lot of specialties that do require this preliminary or a transitional year internship. So can you give an overview of which specialties generally require these?
Yeah, so as you alluded to, some specialties like psychiatry and even orthopedic surgery, they have kind of an integrated general clinical year built into their categorical program. So oftentimes these residents will spend 6 months of their very first year, of their intern year, doing general surgical rotations or general medical rotations, as you may well know. Other specialties that require an entire clinical year separate from their advanced specialty include radiology, dermatology, anesthesiology, ophthalmology, physiatry, which is PM&R, as well as neurology, and I'm probably forgetting a few because the list is about 8 or 10 of those specialties. So those specialties require that you do an internship that's separate from the rest of your training.
Well, that is really helpful to know because 1 year in a separate location means a totally different application. And so if I'm determining whether or not I want to apply to a preliminary versus a transitional year, you alluded to the fact that a transitional year may incorporate medicine and surgery, which could be a good blend if I'm interested in like interventional radiology. So can you describe why someone like you chose one or the other and some other things to consider when making that decision about where to apply?
Yeah, so when it comes to making the decision about where to apply and which programs to apply to, there's kind of two variables that I think about. The first variable is location. So in real estate, they say location is everything, is the number 1, 2, and 3 most important factors for buying real estate. And oftentimes when we rank residency programs, we think about geography. So if you're in medical school, let's say in Minnesota, then you're already here for your 4th year of med school. So you could try and plan on doing a internship in Minnesota before you move elsewhere to go continue your training, let's say in interventional radiology. Now, if you know that you're going to rank all these programs in, let's say, New York City very highly, and they're going to be your numbers 1 through 8 for your rank list, then odds are that you'll probably end up in New York City for your advanced or PGY2 training in interventional radiology. So this person may elect to rank the prelim programs that are located in New York City most highly in order to avoid moving twice. If you want to basically move once, then that clears up a lot of headache. So it's expensive, it's a headache, it's a hassle, it's time lost. It's time lost from vacation if your program doesn't account for moving time.
Wow, those are great points. And what else should we consider?
Yeah, the advice that I was given when it comes to deciding on surgery versus medicine versus transitional year is that the surgery prelim years are going to be generally the most difficult hours-wise. As we know, most surgical rotations are, relatively speaking, more difficult than medical rotations. So if you compare that to a transitional year would have a blend of medicine and surgery. So you can kind of decide for your own talents and strengths, likes and dislikes, what type of prelim year you would like to do. As you alluded to, if you want to do a interventional radiology residency, then some of those applicants decide to only apply to surgical prelim years in order to get a little bit more hands-on training or training with patients that are, I guess, more sick. Personally, I was more interested in internal medicine, so I only applied to internal medicine and transitional year programs. So that's kind of where my strengths and values aligned. And another piece of advice that people gave me was generally try and find the prelim year that is, quote unquote, the easiest to get through. Because at the end of the day, you're only there for a year. And oftentimes you can feel like kind of like just staff or faculty or kind of like a workhorse to get the notes done and to see the patients and to make the hospital run, if that makes sense. So depending on what you want to prioritize, it could be geography, could be your talents and likes and dislikes, or just whatever program is going to be the easiest for you to get through.
Those are great tips in order to determine the differences between those two. And then it brings me to the application, which is already expensive when you're applying within your specialty, but then you're adding on these additional programs, which cost additional funds. But they also can be competitive, like you described. There's a lot of people in various specialties that are applying to preliminary and transitional programs. So how many should an applicant apply to?
Yeah, so it depends on what type of applicant you are. Are you an American MD applicant? Are you an international student? Are you a Caribbean student? Are you an osteopathic student? And then, of course, even within that kind of stratification, where do your scores lie? So depends, like, I would say, obviously apply broader if your scores are lower and you are a quote-unquote less competitive applicant. Let's say you are a typical American MD applicant at a relatively high-ranking school. Then you may only have to apply to, let's say, 20 or 30 prelim programs. Other people may apply up to 50 or 100 in order to get enough in order to be able to match into, to be able to rank and then match into prelim program, because it is possible to match into a advanced specialty like a PGY2 through PGY5 year, let's say, and then be left unmatched with a PGY1 year. So of course you can end up scrambling or soaping into a internship, but in order to avoid that, you know, you'll have to kind of judge for yourself on how broad to apply, basically.
And we did have someone who came on the podcast and talked about how they did not match into their preliminary year, but then did match into their specialty as a PGY2. So like you said, it does happen and you have to apply smart. And so that brings us to the application itself. And it's stressful. You're applying to radiology and then you're applying to these preliminary and transitional years, which is a lot of research. But do you also have to apply with your own personal statement that differs from the one that you used for radiology?
That's a great question. And I was wondering that too when I was a fourth year medical student. There's no advice that I could come by and no mentor that told me that I need to write a different personal statement for these intern years. However, and that's not something that I did. So I did not write a separate essay for those intern years because as you can imagine, they understand that this person is applying to their program in order to get the clinical experience and then move on to their specialty of physiatry or radiology. So they don't really expect you to be wholeheartedly interested in internal medicine, let's say. They know that you're there only for a year. So that's the reason why I opted not to write a separate personal statement for these prelim applications. That said, you could certainly try that strategy. I'm sure it would work out nicely if you just included one or two sentences about how you want to be in the area or at this particular program for XYZ reasons. I don't think that that would be a negative thing by any stretch of the imagination.
And let's say we get interviews and we're super excited and we're trying to figure out which program we should go to. And so what questions might we ask a program director or even residents that are in that preliminary year or transitional year in order to differentiate some of the programs that we're interviewing at?
Some questions you could ask would be like, what changes are coming to the program, or how's the teaching with the faculty? Because you also want to know about kind of the dynamics and the logistics of the program, number one. And number two, you want to also get some clinical learning, right? So you want to kind of learn from the residents and kind of gauge from the faculty and the professors and the attendings who are interviewing you, kind of how the didactics are, if you have time for conference, is there protected research time or opportunity for that? Can you do an elective, and how many elective rotations can you do? So kind of things like that, because you kind of want to do some self-development in this year as well. You don't want to make it feel like you're only doing a year of medicine and you never really got to explore your own interests. So I think those are some important factors to consider.
And during your year, were you able to do any radiology? Or if someone is a dermatology applicant and looking to do some dermatology electives that year, is that possible, or is that something that we could ask program directors about?
It's absolutely possible. Now, that's not to say that every hospital or institution is going to have a dermatology department or a radiation oncology rotation or a pathology rotation, you know, so every hospital and institution is going to have strengths and weaknesses, and they may not always offer everything that you're interested in. That said, one of the reasons why I like my program so much is that our transitional year, it actually did include 2 months of radiology. So that was a huge, huge plus for me. And the other big plus when I was really evaluating my program's transitional year was the fact that we had 2 months of internal medicine, 2 months of general surgery, which included experience in the burn unit and on the trauma service. And then we also spent 2 months in the emergency department, which is relatively unique because the emergency department at my hospital is very, very good. And I also got to do rotations that would be more typical for a third year medical student, things like pediatrics, OBGYN, psychiatry, neurology, et cetera, and so on, in addition to 2 months of radiology. So I felt like my training was very comprehensive and holistic. So these could be things that you might want to look for in a transitional year when you're applying and when you're on the interview trail.
A transitional year almost reminds me of what it's like as a third year medical student, except now you have autonomy and are making those clinical decisions.
Absolutely. It's exactly like being a fifth year med student or a third year med student on a fifth year of medical school. Honestly, I enjoyed it a lot more because the studying is a lot less. Of course, you have to study for USMLE Step 3 or Comlex Level 3, but it's different because, like you said, there's autonomy, you're making decisions, you're actually a physician, so you will introduce yourself as Dr. Paresis or Dr. So-and-so, so it's quite nice.
So when it comes to the end of interview season and you're trying to figure out where to rank preliminary and transitional year programs on your list, so did you email those program directors at these programs asking them additional questions or reaching out and telling them that they were at the top of the list, just like you might when ranking your own categorical or your own radiology PGY2 spot?
Another great question, and emphatically, the answer for me is yes. So obviously, you don't want to email your numbers 2 and 3 and let them know that they're going to be your number one. So never lie. But if you're going to email your number one for your advanced training, for your PGY2 training and onwards, then I would definitely suggest doing that for your PGY1 training in order to maximize your chances and kind of strengthen your positioning on their rank list in order to end up, hopefully, where you want to go.
And just to be clear, this is a separate interview day. So it sounds like it's a time-consuming process that you have to ensure you have days for available in your schedule during interview season as a fourth-year med student.
Exactly. So you have to account for, number one, the increase in cost because you have to actually apply for more applications. So of course, on ERS, that costs more money. And then of course, the costs associated with the time and the hassle and the flights and the hotels that we're all intimately familiar with. So you have to have the days off. And yes, typically it is a separate interview day. That said, however, if you are applying to, you know, the University of Minnesota here to their radiology program, and you also want to separately interview for a prelim program that is in the area, it certainly wouldn't hurt to send an email out or call the program coordinator and let them know that you're in the area, because that may end up saving you a trip. For example, I actually had to go to Miami and Chicago on two occasions for this reason, because I had to return to do a prelim interview in the surrounding areas in order to have them on my rank list, because there wasn't availability to do it on the same day or in a day, the day after, the day before, if that makes sense.
Wow. Well, this is an exhausting process. And luckily, there are some benefits to virtual interviews, which may not be around forever, but at least this upcoming season, with most specialties choosing to do it that route, you know, this doesn't take away the time that it takes to interview at these specific locations or the exhaustion that you have after spending so many days interviewing for preliminary, transitional, and then advanced spots. Well, Nick, you have shared with us so many things that we should all be considering for so many specialties when it comes to preliminary and transitional years. But one last thing, would you share a fun fact about yourself, totally unrelated to medicine?
One kind of fun or random fact about myself is that I actually play traditional Greek folk music. So I play a violin-like instrument from the island of Crete in Greece, and I've been doing so at a somewhat relatively professional level as a Greek musician or a Cretan musician for probably the past 10 years or so. Lately, social media has also been a huge hobby, so feel free to find my Instagram and YouTube channel and TikTok at Dr. Paresis, just DrParisis. So social media and Greek folk music. There you have it.
Well, let's hope there's also a video of you there playing some Greek folk music. And if there is, I have not seen it yet, so I'm ready for it, Nick. Well, that's all the time we have today with Nick. Thanks for joining us at Inside the Match. Special thanks to Kevin McCloy for the music, and be sure to follow or subscribe to our podcast. Catch our next podcast to learn more application tips and hear from another awesome leader in medical education.